Good morning. The scripture reading for today is from Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Kudos on those name pronunciations. Those were, yeah, nice. Nice job. Please pray with me. Gracious God, illumine these words by your Spirit that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would us be. For the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. So the last few weeks we were talking about loving our enemies, and as we shift into fall, I thought it would be nice as we think about cornucopia and turkeys, I thought it might be nice to talk a little bit about gratitude, being appreciative and thankful for the things and the people in our lives that are valuable. It not only helps our emotional and our spiritual health, but it also can, like there have been some studies around that shows that it can actually help with our physical health too. Unfortunately, we live in a broken world and life gets pretty complicated and messy, overwhelming. Our brains can be hardwired to focus on the negative. So gratitude has its own enemies, and we'll be focusing on some of those enemies over the next few weeks. But one enemy of gratitude is worry. Fear, nervousness, anxiety, whatever you want to call it. And I'll be very honest with you, a little bit vulnerable. I have struggled with anxiety and depression as far back as I can remember. I mean, most of that's like in hindsight, because I didn't know what it was called when I was a kid, and I thought that that was just sort of a normal thing. But as I've grown up, I've learned more about it, and I've come to understand it a little bit better. And I've been able to find ways to both recognize when my anxiety has taken over the things in my life, and also the things that kind of help to ease it. Now, one of the things that has helped me is medication, because most of my anxiety is the result of chemicals not working the way that they're supposed to. So Paul's words of telling me not to worry about anything doesn't really do a whole lot to ease my mind. And quite honestly, it feels a little condescending. Like my angsty teenager rises up and is like, ugh. And I go to my room and I slam my door. You don't understand anything, Paul. But also, I don't think that any of us really likes to be told what to feel. I don't know if you've ever had the unfortunate opportunity to tell someone to calm down. That does not usually work the way that you think it will. So another issue that comes up here is that, you know, when Paul is telling us to rejoice and not worry, that leads to a lot of Christians and churches stressing this sort of Pollyanna-ish, like cheerfulness, and sort of neglecting the true, honest complexities of life and those real psychological issues. It's kind of like, it's almost as if we believe that our faith and by extension God is too fragile to handle the darkness of human life. I've told several of you before, when you were going through some hard times, God can take it. God can take all of your anger and your frustration and your sadness and your pain. God can take everything that we throw. Paul doesn't mean, like when Paul says, do not worry about anything and to rejoice in the Lord always, Paul isn't talking about perpetual happiness. Because Paul is very aware. Paul has experienced darkness, fear, pain, sorrow. Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians from a Roman prison. He's awaiting a trial that will most likely result in the death penalty. Paul has been threatened and rejected and beaten. He was haunted by a past that was filled with contempt and violence. But Paul also knew firsthand how the church at Philippi was suffering under Roman oppression. Apostles are being persecuted. Families are being torn apart, and the people are living in uncertainty and fear. And that fear causes arguments and rifts in the congregation. I know that this is something that this congregation knows nothing about, especially in light of a recent and ongoing pandemic. Paul doesn't just say, don't worry, be joyful because things are great. He knows that things aren't great. He's fully aware that things are not going well. Paul doesn't say, rejoice in your family or your job or your health or your safety. He tells the Philippians, as he tells us, rejoice in the Lord. And while Paul urges us to have no anxiety, he can't possibly mean that we're never to worry, because if you read much of this letter to the Philippians, he seems pretty agitated himself in parts. His advice here is to overcome the expected chaos of life by offering it up to God. As we ask God to take care of our worries, we weave gratitude into our prayers. Sometimes our prayers can end up looking a little bit like shopping lists, and we kind of forget to include that thanksgiving and that gratefulness, that gratitude in there. Our anxieties really cloud everything that we're privileged to receive. But as we become more attuned to what we're thankful for, we can be assured that the peace of God is guarding our hearts and grounding us in Christ. And we try to be happy in all sorts of ways with all sorts of material things. And these are material things that just can't last. When we try to build joy out of temporal things, that joy is always going to be temporary. All of that can be taken. On the other hand, God's peace is everlasting. But the thing about God's peace is that it's not something that we can just conjure up within ourselves and experience just like through sheer will. Peace and joy come from God, and the way that we receive them is through constant spiritual practice. Prayer, contemplation. And when I say prayer and spiritual practice here, I'm talking about an actual relationship with God, not some sort of technique. There isn't a formulaic magic prayer or a specific spiritual practice that automatically is going to dissolve all of your worry and create instant inner peace. Like any other relationship in our lives, connecting with God takes practice and patience. But when we are joined with God in continual conversation, we can see, we can witness to God's actions. Even while acknowledging uncertainty, difficulty, and pain. But wait, there's more. In America, in our American, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps culture, we often think that we have to do all of this on our own. For Paul, though, this is a communal process. When Paul says rejoice, literally in the Greek, that is a plural verb. It's in the plural form. The church is supposed to rejoice together in the Lord. Again, this isn't a superficial cheerfulness. Rather, this is about a deep joy in what God has done in Christ and is continuing to do through all of the saints, you and I. This joy in the Lord not only comes from the Lord, but is also shared by all of us who live in Him. We express it by sharing Christ's love and concern for other people. And this kind of collective rejoicing is continuous. The Philippians and we can rejoice in all circumstances because all circumstances are opportunities for us to witness to the Lord. Again, Paul is not telling us, put our heads in the sand, avoid the harshness of the world, just ignore it and it'll go away. Paul is also not telling us to lift up suffering, to exalt it, to praise suffering, that it's good for us. Rather, Paul is telling us to put our heads in the clouds, to give thanks and witness to the presence of God and the workings of Christ and the salvation of the world through our actions. Letting go of our worry isn't a matter of ignoring what is wrong. It's a confidence in what is right. It's dropping our anchor in the good news of Christ rather than waiting for the news of the world to calm us down. Ridding your life of worry is not a matter of reducing stress, but increasing trust. So Paul says, rejoice. And if the first time doesn't take, again I say, rejoice. Thanks be to God. Amen.